says, a psalm of psalms, or a psalm or song for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician upon Mahalath, Leonoth, Mashal of Heman, the Ezrahite. All right. O Lord God, my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon thee, have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. How many of you guys have heard of the acronym SAD, S-A-D? Who knows what that stands for? Seasonal Affective Disorder, right? Okay, and basically SAD is a medical way to describe what happens to some of us when fall turns to winter. Or summer turns to fall, and we get depressed. Anybody here like that? Just it rains, and it gets cold, and you just, it's just something, it's like a wet blanket gets thrown over you, you know? Some people love the winter, and love the cold air, and they get excited about it, all right? And other people are normal. And, no, I'm just kidding. Sad. This psalm is a very unique psalm. It is a dark and sad and melancholy psalm from start to finish. You know, there are other sad psalms and discouraging psalms in the Bible, but they all end on a positive note. They all end with somebody putting their hope in God. And this one, what's the last word? Darkness. There's no happiness in this psalm, none whatsoever. And it's kind of a difficult psalm to deal with because certainly the things that the psalmist says here are not meant to be swallowed whole, not all of them. This is one of those psalms that reminds us that God really uses human beings and the emotions of human beings when he wrote the Word of God. You know, I believe that the Bible is, from start to finish, from beginning to end, the Word of God. That it is completely pure and absolutely perfect in every way. That it's inspired all Scripture. We have it on the wall, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture and the inspiration of Scripture and all of that. But one thing that you have to understand is that there are also, in the Scripture, there are divinely inspired words that are there, not necessarily, you have to read them in their context, and part of that context is sometimes God just records the heart and soul of the human penman of the book. And what I'm trying to say here is that a lot of the things that this psalmist here is saying, I don't think he means literally. For instance, he says, "My life draweth nigh unto the grave." I think what he meant is he feels like his life is drawing nigh to the grave. All right? This is the psalm of somebody that's going through a dark valley of depression. Okay? Matthew Henry said that this psalm is a description of a sick man's sufferings. Spurgeon said that the title upon Mahalath, I can't even say this, Leonoth, okay, means, it's been said to mean, upon an afflictive sickness. And whether or not what the psalmist said is reality, it felt like reality to him. And God is accurately recording the emotions of this psalmist. How many of you know that we have emotions? We're emotional creatures, right? How many of you sometimes know things in your head that you can't make the rest of you, follow along with? All right? This psalmist, I think, offers some hope for that. So I'm going to talk for a little bit tonight about depression. It's a depressing topic, right? I'm going to talk about depression for a few minutes. And I think it's a topic that all of us, if we haven't dealt with it before, we will deal with it at some point. So point number one is this. Everyone experiences some depression. Everybody experiences some depression. Okay? Either you are depressed or you're going to be depressed, or you have been depressed. Everybody goes through highs and lows in life. And it's not unspiritual to have fluctuating emotions, okay? It's not unspiritual for us to feel the highs and the lows. That's just, that's some of that is chemical and some of that is physical, and it's not necessarily a sign that we are away from God or that there's something wrong with us spiritually. Now, it certainly can be a sign of that, but it isn't always. And it's appropriate sometimes for us to have emotions that are varied. I believe that joy should be the overwhelming emotion of the Christian life. The New Testament says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice, right? We should be joyful people, but there's also, the Bible also says that there's a time to weep. You know, how many have ever been to a funeral before? I'm sure everybody's been to a funeral. I know everybody's been to a funeral just about here besides the children. And it would be highly inappropriate for me to come into a funeral all giddy and happy and joking around and, you know, "Hey, did you hear this new joke?" And, you know, walk up to the people at the graveside or walk up to people next to the casket and show them some funny meme I saw on the internet. That would be highly inappropriate. We understand there's a time to weep, right? There's a time to mourn. There's a time to be angry. There's a time to be low. Everybody experiences some depression. Everybody experiences some highs and lows, okay? And just because you're going through a time of depression, a high and low, doesn't mean that there's necessarily something wrong with you spiritually. So that's number one. Number two is this: knowledge is not always sufficient to ward off depression. Now, it's interesting here. The man that wrote this psalm, his name is awesome. His name is He-Man, right? Remember He-Man from the 80s? My childhood coming back right here. But He-Man is actually written about several different places in the Bible. And He-Man, in 1 Kings chapter 4, it's talking about Solomon's wisdom. And it compares the wisdom of Solomon. It says, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite and He-Man. Saying, that's talking about how wise Solomon is, and it says, Solomon is so wise, he is even wiser than He-Man. And it's talking about the guy that wrote this song. All right? I think another thing you'll see about this, the man that wrote this psalm, is that he was the choral leader, the choir director for the temple. He was a man that was skilled in music and skilled in the worship of God. This is a guy that knew some things about God in his head. But when he wrote this, he was having a hard time moving them from his head to his heart, moving them from his head to his emotions. And sometimes you're going through a hard time and you know God is good. It's hard to feel like God is good, right? You know God is in control, but it's hard to feel like God is in control because your emotions are taking you for a ride. You know you're supposed to be nice and kind, and it's hard to be nice and to be kind. Knowledge, just knowing what's right, isn't always sufficient to ward off depression. That's one of the reasons why we need to be close to the Lord. We need our heart to stay close to God, okay? And we need God to control not just our mind, but also our hearts. Stay close to him, and he can help us through these times of depression. Third point, by the way, these points are not original to me, okay? Some Brother Adam said if would be a fool to not use someone else's, borrow someone else's stick to beat the devil. So I did not come up with this stuff myself. Number three is this. Some people tend toward melancholy. Some people tend toward melancholy. Okay? How many know that people have a different emotional temperatures, right? How many of you know somebody that is always either really, really high or really, really low? Do you know anybody like that? Nobody? Used to? All right? Anybody, can you guys just like follow, give me some indication that I'm not just talking to a blank wall sometime? You don't have to shout amen and run around the auditorium, but just nod your head. It would be great. All right. You know somebody that's up and down, and then there are some people that they tend to stay down a lot. They just sort of have a melancholy emotional state most of the time. And then there's some people, they just seem to be kind of on the high end most of the time. And some people I don't understand, are just like even keeled all the time. Like they're never all that excited. They're never all that sad. They're just the same constantly. All right. I know people, and you know people like that too, I'm sure. Okay. But some people just, they have a natural tendency towards depression and towards melancholy. And if you're one of those people, you need to know yourself well enough, and if it's one of your family members, maybe know them, know yourself well enough to work extra hard at guarding your heart and fighting that all the time. Stay in the Word of God. Stay close to the Lord. Stay in prayer. Stay around godly people, okay? Some people tend towards melancholy. I think that the fact that this guy was an artsy guy, a musician, a leader of these musicians here, I think maybe there's a tie between people that are very, very highly creative and people that struggle with depression. I don't know, but some people just tend to be more melancholy than others. Number four is this, and I want you to understand this one, okay? Depression can have a physical source. Depression can have a physical source. How many of you have ever known somebody? This would be a good time to nod your head, all right? How many of you have ever known somebody that got sick and their personality changed? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe they were an upbeat kind of person and they were going through sickness, they were going through pain, and they became a somber person, melancholy, depressed, sad, okay? Pain and sickness can affect your personality. Sometimes when you get discouraged, And when you get depressed, it's not, sometimes it has a spiritual source, and I don't want to minimize that at all, but sometimes there's a physical source. Sometimes it's a sign of something that's wrong with you physically. You know, you all know I'm a huge fan of Charles Spurgeon. I've read all kinds of books about Charles Spurgeon and read a lot of his books. Not all of them, that would take a long time. But one of the books that I read as a young preacher, and I've read many times, he has a book called Lectures to My Students, where he writes to would-be preachers. And he's got a chapter in that book called The Minister's Fainting Fits. And in The Minister's Fainting Fits, he tells his students about his own struggles with depression. He fought depression his entire life. I mean, he really struggled with it. Here's what he had to say about depression. He said, "Don't think it unspiritual to remember you have a body. Sometimes the physician is as needful as the minister." So there can be physical reasons why you are going through depression, okay? Maybe it's I read a list. These are the things that someone said may have led to Spurgeon's depression: chemical imbalance, illness, trauma, loneliness, increased mental exertion, fame, failure, controversy, weather, nervousness. You know, I'll tell you, whenever we have a really, really big day at church and lots of people are here and the sermon, I feel like I have a lot of liberty in preaching and it just is like a really, really high day. I am always the Monday after, I am always a wreck. I'm just being honest. All right? It's like a roller coaster. The low follows the high. And that's a pretty common, I've talked to lots of preachers about that. That's a pretty common thing. All right, sometimes you go through maybe a hardship, a difficulty, and it brings about some depression. It brings about some stuff. Sometimes, you know, you just need to go to the doctor and get some help, all right? That's not necessarily a sign of weak spirituality. Now, I also want to say, depression can have a spiritual cause too. And if your heart's not right and your head's not right, then you need to fix that and not constantly, you know, look to pills for the answer. But it can have a physical source. It can have a physical source. Okay, a couple more points here. When you're depressed, don't isolate yourself. I think this psalmist here shows signs that that's what he did here at the end. The last several verses here, he talks about how his friends are all gone far from him. "Mine acquaintances are put into darkness," he says. Basically, what he's saying is what a lot of depressed and down people say is, "Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody knows." He was like, "Nobody knows the trouble I see," right? All right, how many of you have ever felt that way? I'm sure you have. Well, I can tell you with the certainty that when you feel like that, you're wrong, okay? You're wrong. Number one, there's a God in heaven that wants us to cast our cares on him because he cares for us, right? He cares for you. He cares for me. And he does know what we're going through. We sing that song, "Does Jesus Care?" Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart was touched with my grief, right? Jesus knows what you're going through. He understands that. So he knows what you're going through. But also, look around. There are godly people that I know in this church that if you went to them and you told them that you were going through a hard time, they care. They pray for you. If there was something that they could do that could be done about it, they'd help you with it, okay? They'd spend time with you. There are people around you that care about you. And what happens when we get low and we get depressed is too often what we try to do is isolate ourselves from people. We just want to, you know, go up on top of a mountain and cry or something. And that is not what we need to do when we're going through a time of depression. You need to, instead of isolate yourself, you need to surround yourself with people that care about you, that love you, okay? A preacher said that when you're depressed, the best thing to do is get some friends and go to Dairy Queen. He said, I don't know what will help, the ice cream or the friends, but one of them will help, okay? And that might not sound that spiritual, but I think there's some wisdom there. So don't isolate yourself when you're down. All right, number six, if you're keeping count, number six is this. Depressed people often blame God. If you read this, and this is why I think we can't take all of this stuff, just swallow it whole here, because he makes a lot of accusations against God that are just straight up not true, okay? He says that God is the cause of his problems, that God has pushed him down into the grave, that God is causing all of his acquaintances to be far from him. You know, and a lot of times when you're around depressed people, they want to blame God for all of their problems. It's God's fault. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. If God loved me, I wouldn't be going through this, okay? And it's foolish. It's foolish to talk that way. Don't blame God for your problems. Look to God as the answer to your problems. Let me give you one more point, and I'll be done here. There is one note of hope in this psalm, and that is that this man, He-Man, again, great name, isn't it, He-Man? He-Man was depressed, and He-Man was awfully low. This is the saddest psalm in the whole Bible, but at least he knew to turn to God. At least he was still going to the right place. There's some hope there, all right? And when you are sick with despair and depression, you need to remember you can always turn to God. You can always look to him, okay? You can always bring your problems to the Lord. Never get so hopeless that you forget that God cares and that God loves you and that God can help, all right? So Psalm 88, interesting psalm.